Matthew chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 18 through 25 this morning. Sunday mornings, we are studying through the Gospel of Matthew, but we're not in chapter 1. We've just finished chapter 24, and it may be some time before we resume with chapter 25. But this morning, looking at these well-known words, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. An elementary school teacher was leading her class in a study of different words. She would read out a word and then ask the children to give back a definition. One after another, each child gave his or her explanation for simple words like father, mother, uncle, neighbor. The word friend was given to a small boy, and he thought about it for a moment, thought about it a little longer, and then finally he blurted out, a friend is someone who likes you, even though he knows you. Now, you probably won't find that definition in any of the standard dictionaries, but there is an element of truth in that, isn't it? A friend is someone who likes you, even though he knows you. This morning, Christmas morning, we gather to celebrate the incarnation of God's Son, and this is God's message to us. We now have a friend who knows us, who knows all about us, and he still likes us. In fact, he loves us. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He knows us as no one else knows us. The good, the bad, the ugly, the truly horrible. And still, he loves us. Matthew is writing his gospel to impress upon the Christian that the one who knows us so well and loves us so much has come into our world to be with us and to help us. Let's begin this morning by looking at Matthew's account of Joseph's story. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. We don't know a lot about Joseph from the New Testament, but what we know shows that he seems to have been a really wonderful person. But here we see that he's one who is facing a really heartbreaking situation. Luke gives Mary's story. Matthew is giving us Joseph's story. It's the same story, but it's being told from two different perspectives. Joseph and Mary are engaged to be married. In those days, an engagement could only be broken by a divorce. One day, and it must have been a very sad and distressing day for Joseph, he discovers that Mary is pregnant. He clearly knows that he's not the father. And he clearly loves Mary, no matter what she appears to have done. But the situation presents a problem to him. Being a just man, that is, a man who wants to do the right thing before God, he can't just gloss over this situation. Mary's going to have a baby. It's not his. She must have been unfaithful. So he feels the need to call off this wedding. But he's a just man who deeply loves Mary. And so he can't bring himself to hurt Mary by dragging all of this out into the public. And so he decides to let her go and set her free, perhaps to be with the father of the child. It really is a beautiful picture of justice and love, isn't it? Wanting to do the right thing, but not wanting to hurt the person that you love. But it must have been a distressing day for Joseph. But then Joseph has a dream. While he's thinking about these things, he has a dream. Verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God intervenes and sends an angel to alert Joseph that something really unique is taking place here. You don't understand what is happening here, and so the angel is sent to deliver this message. What we find is rather than Mary being guilty of doing something unholy, the new life within her is a product of the Holy Spirit. She's not guilty of some sin, but rather she bears in her womb the one who will take away our sin. Then Joseph wakes up from the dream and he does exactly what God told him to do. Verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph chooses to set aside his fears and his suspicions, and he puts his faith in God's word. That faith moves him to obey what God has said to do. And so he commits himself to Mary no matter what. And then he publicly accepts and adopts this child by being the one who gives the child a name. But the name that he gives is the name that God has already told him about through the angel. It's the name of Jesus. But now notice that Matthew has inserted a little sermon into Joseph's story. If this were a movie we were watching, all of a sudden we would see Matthew poke his head into the camera and start talking to the audience. He wants to make a comment on what has taken place, and so he pauses in the storyline, he steps on stage, and he preaches a short sermon with 3 points. Verse 22, all this took place, Matthew says, to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. First point, the Lord has spoken. God is there and he is not silent. God has said something in the past about what's happening now. God loves to speak to his children. God loves to speak and communicate with his friends. God spoke to Isaiah about something that would happen, and now what you see and hear is what God was talking about. The Lord has spoken. His second point is the Lord has given you a sign, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. A virgin, a young woman, not yet married, and has never had a child, will have a child. And this child, born of a virgin, will be a sign that God is active and God is doing something unique in history. And then his third point. The Lord is opening for you, for us, a door of hope. Matthew explains this Old Testament text that he finds in Isaiah about who this child is. Isaiah had said they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now Matthew explains that for us, which means God with us. Three words. God with us. God with us. The angel had said that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's from God's Spirit. The Nicene Creed uses language like this, that he's none other than God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not created. We read in the Heidelberg Catechism earlier, he's the eternal Son of God who is and remains true and eternal God. Though God humbled himself to become a child, he never ceased to be God. He never has ceased to be God. Today he is God with us. God with us. One of us, aligned with us, living and breathing like any of us, a real human being. Again, the Heidelberg Catechism said he took to himself through the working of the Holy Spirit from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, a truly human nature, to be like us in every way, except for sin. Martin Luther, in one of his sermons for Christmas Eve, said, "How could God have demonstrated his goodness more powerfully than by stepping down so deep into flesh and blood?" The Word became flesh, truly human, God with us, and God with us. That word that was once spoken by God into the ear of Isaiah, and he took that word and he wrote it down in his Old Testament book, and then one day Matthew read that word and he wrote it down in his New Testament book, and has now been preserved for us for 2,000 years so that this Christmas morning I can read that word and you can hear that word. That word is for you. It is for us. What God said back then is for us today. Romans 15, verse 4, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." In the person of Jesus, God is with us here and now today. God is not a distant deity. It's not that he's out there somewhere. He's here with us. It's not that God only appeared and was with people back then when Jesus walked on earth. He's here with us today. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess, you'll know the language, that he was crucified, dead, buried. He rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. It might sound like Jesus is gone and we're still waiting for him and he's not really with us. The Apostles' Creed doesn't end there, does it? He will come to judge the living and the dead. What are the very next words? I believe. You can peek. Is it over here? I believe in the Holy Spirit. You know, God not only gives us four Gospels in the New Testament to tell us who Jesus is and what he has done, he gives us the book of Acts to show us what Jesus continues to do through the person of his Spirit. And it's the fulfillment of the promise of the very last words in Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus promised, "Behold, I am with you, even to the end of the age." That's who this child is, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, a friend who knows us very well, and he still likes us. Indeed, he loves us, God with us. Three words, God with us. Now, what are you going to do with them this morning? Easy sermon to remember, three words when you leave, you think about it, God with us. This morning, these three words can deliver you from the penalty of sin. The real problem that lies just below the surface of this whole story is our sin. God sent Jesus into the world because of our sin. Christmas just doesn't make any sense without understanding what's going on below the surface of all of these stories. What God requires of each of us is that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus said all the law and the prophets hang upon these two commandments. And the reality is that none of us does this. We don't even come close. Loving God with all that is within us and then loving our neighbor as ourselves, we don't even come close to doing that. That failure in your life and my life is the true source of the shame, the guilt, the frustration, the loneliness that you feel deep inside. It's that gnawing realization that you are out of God's will and under his condemnation. But these three words together is God's door of hope for you. God knows all about you, and he's still willing to be your friend. He sent Jesus into the world to save people from their sins. He offers to remove that penalty of death that you deserve because of your sin. This morning, if you're not a Christian, if you realize that as you've come this morning and you know that you're not a Christian, look at this child, Jesus, Emmanuel. See who he really is, God with us. Put your faith in him to save you, to give you new life, to provide forgiveness. This morning, if you're here and you thought, I've always been a Christian, but deep down in your heart, what is really there is, I'm doing the baby steps. I'm doing the best I can. I am sincere. I'm doing everything I know to make God happy with me. Just stop. You will never do enough to make God love you. You can't do it, but Jesus can, and he has. And so again, put your faith in Christ alone, who is God with us. These three words can deliver you from the power of sin. You know, our failure to love God with all that is within us and to love our neighbor as ourselves not only puts us under the penalty of death, but it also entangles us and enslaves us to keep on doing what's wrong. I mean, that's the reason we develop these habits of sin, of doing the wrong thing. And even as Christians, we can make that mistake that if I only try hard enough, I can clean up my act. I can do everything, and God will be happy with me as a Christian. Just tell me the right thing to do. Give me a list of do's and don'ts. So Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Keep all your promises and vows. Love your enemies. Don't become intoxicated with earthly treasures. And don't ever, ever, ever worry. And it doesn't take very long to figure out this is not going to work. I'm stuck. I am a slave to sin. And so why does Jesus tell me to do all of that stuff that I can't do? Perhaps you remember those words of Jesus when he said, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Or of what Paul once said, that it is only in Christ that I can do all things. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, saves us, not only from the penalty of our sin, but from that tedious, monotonous, depressing routine of slavery to the power of sin. This morning, these three words can deliver you from the pollution of sin. You know what pollution is, right? Bad stuff. Poisons the environment. Looks bad, smells bad, it's dangerous to your health, it ruins what should be good and beautiful and healthy. It's trash. Too often we allow our trash to pile up. Pollutants that we should have disposed of properly long ago. Silly grudges. Stubborn resentments. Hurt feelings. Deep bitterness over past offenses and tragedies. Somebody makes you angry, or something makes you angry, and instead of letting it go, you hold on to it and then you nurse it. If we were up north, we'd be talking about chimneys and fireplaces and, you know, on a cold Christmas morning, and throw another log on the fire. You've got this fire going where you're angry and bitter about something, and you just throw on another log to keep that fire burning all the time. Worries, anxieties, fears over what might happen. Someone once confessed, I have had a sad and tragic life. My life has been full of tragedy, heartbreak, disappointments, some of which actually happened. Isn't that the way our minds work? My life is so terrible, all of these things. Well, maybe they didn't really happen. Some of us have so embraced our fears that we think it's a reality. And that's the world we live in. The good news of Christmas morning can be summarized in these three words. God with us. We don't have to hold on to all of that trash and that garbage that pollutes our enjoyment of life and our ability to be the people that God created and called us to be. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that includes all of that garbage that you try to hold on to. And then finally, this morning, these three words will deliver you from the presence of sin. 100% done with sin. All the lingering effects of sin and evil gone for all eternity. All the bad stuff that in the world today or in your life gone forever. At the cross, Jesus took upon himself the full penalty of our sins, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. With his resurrection, Jesus breaks the power of reigning sin and he sets the prisoner free. Romans 6, verse 4, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too can now walk in newness of life. With the gift of his Holy Spirit, Jesus washes the pollution of sin away. Titus 3, verse 5. By the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. All of that pollution is washed out. And on that day when Jesus returns, we will be done with sin forever. It will no longer be present in your mind, your heart, your spirit, your soul, your body. Done with sin, 100% forever. Colossians 3, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then we also will appear with him in glory. On that day, our Advent prayer, "Come, thou long expected Jesus," will be fully answered. Until that day, we have this sure and certain promise that Jesus himself is Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are able to once again pause and think of this elementary truth. That you have loved us so much that you have sent your own Son into this world. You do not desire that we perish. You want us, you call us to turn to you in faith and repentance, throwing the full weight of our hopes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, as we leave this place today and as we rejoice and continue to celebrate Christmas Day, as we go through this new week that lies before us and into the new year, help us to think often of these three words, God with us. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen.